Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our gospel reading in Matthew chapter 5. So we have kind of a problem this morning. Our text is way too long. Did you notice how many subjects there are in it? Oh my goodness, you got law and your gospel. You got second and third use of the law. You have anger and reconciliation. You have the fifth commandment, the sixth commandment, and the eighth commandment, and a spattering of other things as well in between. Way too much for one sermon. So we're left with two choices, right? Either we pick a small portion of this text and we talk about that, which would be a very good thing to do, or you can look for the thread that weaves its way through the whole thing. And that's what I'd like to do with you, the second of those two options. And so what is that thread? I mentioned it in the welcome this morning. It is that this is a matter of the heart. Now, that's kind of what Jesus is talking about. When you get right down to it in the end, it's a matter of the heart. So to ease our way into this, let's do a little bit of a review, because we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount for several weeks now. The first thing that we want to recognize about the Sermon on the Mount is that it is not a manual in order to get blessed. In other words, that if you do these things, then God will bless you. That gets it exactly backwards, right? We understand that Jesus is talking to his disciples, those who are already the blessed. They are blessed. You are blessed in Christ. And so now this whole sermon really is an explanation of what does that mean? What does life look like for the disciple of Christ, for those who are the blessed? How is their life going to go? What's it supposed to be all about? And so we had several weeks ago the Beatitudes. You know, this is what it means to be a follower of Christ. You are the blessed in these ways. Then last week we talked about salt and light. Remember, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And the big thing there is not that you can be, you will be, you should be salt and life. No, you are. You are salt and light already. Christ has made you that. He is salt and light. He is within you, and he changes your being so that you are salt and light. And the big thing about that is what? Influence. Salt and light have influence on the world, and so that's what we are. And then the end of last Sunday's reading, which we really didn't talk about at all last Sunday, Jesus said, I have come not to abolish the law, but rather to fulfill it. And that's the same thing for us who are his followers. It's not that in Christ we are forgiven and then we can forget about the law and do whatever we want. No, it's just the opposite. The law takes on a new perspective for us, and we begin to understand it in new ways, not in its outward letter of the law, but we begin to understand the true intent of what it is that God's will for us is, and that we desire to understand that. We meditate on it day and night, and indeed, that we desire to live in this way, to walk with Christ. So that brings us up to date to where we are, and Jesus in our text for today begins to talk about the true intent of the law. So Jesus said, you have heard that it was said. Well, let's stop there for just a moment. What does that mean? What's Jesus talking about? Some people say, well, it's the Old Testament law. And indeed it is. You know, the law in the Old Testament is the backdrop for everything that Jesus is saying. It's the foundation. But really, he's talking about something a little bit more specific than that. He's talking about the interpretation of the scribes and the Pharisees regarding the law, their interpretation. You know, you have heard what they are saying, what they are teaching to you. But now I say to you. So it's not a contradiction between Jesus and the Old Testament, but it's really a contradiction between Jesus and what they have been, they've heard being said about the Old Testament scriptures. So again, Jesus is expounding upon the true meaning of God's law for us. And so there are several examples that we have here. You have heard it was said that you should not murder. But I want to say to you what this commandment really about is that even if you are angry with another person. You've broken this commandment. You know, even if hateful words are spewing from your mouth, if you call somebody a fool, you see, you've already broken this commandment. You don't even have to get to the actual physical murder of somebody. He says, you've heard that it's said that you should not commit adultery. Well, yeah, indeed. But what I want to say to you is that even when you look at another person lustfully, you've committed adultery in your heart. Wow. Or you've heard it said that you shall not swear falsely. But I say to you, you know, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. You know, don't try to take all of these oaths that somehow some bind you and some don't, so that you can take an oath but kind of slip out of it, you know, and you can be a little bit sleazy in that way. No, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. So what is it that all of these things have in common? Well, Jesus is really talking about the letter versus the spirit of the law, right? Yeah, you know, you've heard that it was said, you know, here is the letter of the law. But what I want to say to you is there's really a lot more to this than just the letter of the law. Let's talk about the spirit of the law. What is God's intent for you? We can do one more thing with this morning. We can kind of update it, you know. What would Jesus have said if he was, you know, preaching the sermon today, right now? Well, I know this is a little bit of speculation. But, you know, if you were thinking about it, what might he say? Well, you've heard it said, you shall not murder. Indeed, that's right. But I say to you, respect all of life. Take care of your sick, your elderly, your dying. Don't cast them off. These are precious gifts of God to you. And let's not try to end their life more quickly than what God intends. Yeah. That's not what I want you to do, God says. Or life within the womb. Yeah, that's a precious gift of life from God as well. I understand your concern about women. Care for them too, but we can't try to make that right with another wrong of killing another person in the womb. You have heard that it's said, you shall not commit adultery. Indeed. But I say to you that any of you who are indulging in pornography, you've committed adultery too. You know, the statistics would tell us that somehow, over 50% of the people in our congregation are engaged in pornography. Honestly, I have a hard time believing that. As I look at our congregation, I don't see it. Maybe I'm naive, but I just don't see you guys that way. But let me say to you that if somebody is involved with this, you've sinned. You've committed adultery in your heart. And maybe you think that you're hiding it, but you're just destroying yourselves and your families and your relationships. I'd say to you, the first thing that you need to do is expose it. Tell somebody. Find somebody that can help you, that you can trust, and tell them about it. And that's where the healing begins, to shine some light on it. Because you're doing it in secret. If you start telling somebody and ask them to help you, that's the beginning of breaking the darkness in your life. Let's not fool ourselves. You've heard that it said, one other thing. I think maybe Jesus would tell us to clean up our Super Bowl halftimes. Yeah, you think maybe? It's very disappointing. The way they're promoting football game. That's breaking the sixth commandment. You've heard that it says you shall not swear falsely. But I say to you, just let your yes be yes and your no be no. Far too often today, people are rather flippant about what they say to other people. If it's not convenient to them, they just kind of like back out of what they said that they would do. Let's be people of integrity. Let's have our word mean something. If we promise something to somebody, that we would follow through with that, not just back out because of a convenience or inconvenience. What's the problem here? You know, it's the same as when Jesus was talking to those people way back when he walked this earth. We play fast and free with the law of God. That we like to look at the letter of the law, the gross expressions of breaking the law, and we say, well, I've not done that. And we congratulate ourselves and pat ourselves on the back, and we think that we've done a pretty good job. But the reality is that when we let God's Spirit speak to our hearts through the law, that we begin to understand what the true intent of the law is. And it's far more than the letter of the law. That Spirit of the law takes us far deeper, and we begin to see the problem in our lives, that we have indeed broken the commandments of God, and we do it rather frequently. And so the problem is really a matter of the heart, isn't it? The other things are symptoms. They're problems, no doubt, because they're hurtful to us and to others. We grieve our God, but they are symptoms. And the real problem, as Jesus is telling us here, is that it goes back to our hearts. Even back further than our thoughts, it goes to the desires of our heart. And so the problem is that we need a new heart. But that's the solution too. The solution is that we have a renewed heart. That's what Jesus is getting to in verses 29 through 30 of our text for today. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. What's Jesus talking about there? Is he talking about self-mutilization? I think you figured out that he's not talking about that. Otherwise, there'd be a lot of people here with one eye and missing a hand. And, you know, we figured out he's not talking about that literally. But what is he saying? He's saying to us that whatever gets in the way, whatever causes you to sin, you need to give attention to that. Get rid of it. Correct it. Focus there. Okay, and so we've already found out what the real problem is, right? The problem was not with our eyes or with our hands. The real problem was here with our heart. And so we need to start dealing with that and getting a new heart. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says, "For out of the heart, comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander." So the solution is to fix the heart, to have a heart that truly loves God, that loves his laws and the ways of the Lord and desires to walk in them more than anything else. That's the most important thing in our life. And this is what Jesus came to do more than anything else. Yes, he came to be an example to us to show us how to live, but more than that, he came to give us a new heart so that we can be forgiven, that we would die to sin, and that we would rise to new life in him. And so it is that we pray with David, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within me." Ezekiel as well, when he's talking about the new covenant in Christ, what God is going to do in Christ. He says in chapter 11, "And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them." Same thing David said, right? A clean heart and a new spirit. "I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." What a wonderful gift God gives to us. This is exactly what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. Having the new heart. A heart that truly loves God, that loves his law, that doesn't try to minimalize it, but rather understands its full intent and what it means to walk with God, and a heart that truly desires to walk with him and to keep his ways. In Jesus' name, amen.